It is Dukes and Bell live from Hooters, guys, Mall of Georgia location. We're going to be back here on Thursday hanging out. And look, as we get ready, football is right around the corner. We're going to talk more about this as I just saw the promo mic for the Hall of Fame game on Thursday where we get, well, it's preseason football, but it's starting. So Thursday.
But we are going to see. Now, here's the funny thing. Remember all those jokes about Trey Lance and the 49ers drafting him and the Cowboys picking him up and then deciding not to use him after all? You will see Trey Lance for maybe a half at the Hall of Fame game. You know, this is the thing. Look, we say it every year. It is what it is. And I think we've already heard from our coach, Raheem Morris, how he feels about preseason. He wants to mitigate injury risks, which I understand. You know, I just wondered, where's that happy medium between your third game guy, you guys played three games of Michael Penix Jr., and wanting to have him, you know, in some real live situations, albeit against maybe guys who'll be working for UPS in 3 weeks. We're talking about the preseason rosters.
Sure.
But they're not going to, you're not going to see, it sounds like, unless I'm really misreading, you're going to see any, if all, of our starters in the preseason.
We've got another week before we actually play. That'll be next Friday, the following Friday.
Detroit.
Yeah. But we'll talk more about that. Let's talk some Braves right now with our Braves insider, Grant McCauley. And, Grant, I spent some time with your wife today. I mean,
Hey.
I actually did.
It's the man's wife.
Well, she was at camp today. I mean, Allie is great. She's on the morning show, if you don't know. I didn't mean it like that. Grant, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, and I think she is getting a firsthand look at exactly what goes on at training camp, including the obliteratingly warm weather that we're having. So I know she's having a blast up there.
We are. I'll tell you, I had a blast last night because, hey, we found a way to get it done. A bunch of guys going deep. Ronald Acuna, Acuna for life. Ozuna, Riley homered. This, you know, we get one of these games, Grant, right, where it goes, this is how it's supposed to feel.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you want to see more of them. I talked about this a lot on From the Diamond where, you know, we know where we are at this point in the season. And most importantly, I think we know, unfortunately, what the Braves are not this year. And that's a club that is going to be able to contend because they cannot consistently hit like this. They cannot consistently win series. And a lot of it can be laid at the feet of the offense. And I said that, you know, you look at the first 3 months of the season. If you're in a situation now where maybe you do get hit by this run of pitching injuries, which is, you know, unprecedented, I've never seen anything quite like losing your entire opening day rotation by the time you get to the midway point of the season. But right. Had you won some of these winnable games and winnable series, maybe you're in a place where the decision's a little bit more difficult. And maybe you are trying to talk yourself into, at the very least, the same mindset you had in 2021, which was, we believe we can play better. We just need a few pieces to get us over the top. But this is not that team, unfortunately. And as much as I love to see it, it just feels like a mirage at times where you see it for a day, maybe two, and then the next three or four, it's just in absentia. You don't see it. The big hits are not there. The runs are not there. The pitching obviously is taking it on the chin. But, yeah, this is just not adding up to what the Braves need as far as a winning formula. That being said, love watching Ronald Acuna Jr. do Ronald Acuna Jr. things. Marcel, I think, is at least showing that he's still capable of the power. And maybe that will entice some clubs to be more interested in him moving forward. But I think I really did circle Austin Riley on last night's lineup and say,
right,
great to see him back from the IL. The home run, sure, awesome. But the big hit with the bases loaded, I think he's been looking for one of those all year.
Yeah, walking Ronald Acuna to get to Austin Riley, which I think always gets guys, even though they won't say it in a post-game interview, yeah, you're ticked off, you know, and you feel like they're showing you up.
10 times out of 10.
Again, it's good baseball sense. He hasn't been swinging the bat well. One thing, Grant, I said to Carl, because not everybody at this stage is watching the Braves every night, but one thing, I've never seen this happen, and I don't think you have. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's a single up the middle, and Money Harris kind of dogs it. And the runner takes advantage and gets the second. And it's just something I hadn't seen. I know we've talked about lackadaisical attitude. I don't want to see that creeping into this team when things are kind of looking like they're lost.
No, and I don't think that's the case. I mean, every once in a while, you know, you may take a play easier or make it more routine than it should be, and I don't think that's necessarily just dogging it for the sake of, oh, you know, I could have dove and kept the base hit from happening, but I don't feel like doing it, so I'll play it on a couple of hops, and then the guy takes second. I mean, that's a bad look. That's when we flash back to the Bobby Cox, Andrew Jones situation, that's what that was. It's needing more effort out there than that. But, you know, I really feel like, and with Michael Harris in particular, he had, you know, statistically, about as bad a first half as a player can have. He was the lowest qualified hitter of every guy that qualifies for the batting title, like 160 of them in baseball, in terms of OPS. You could not be less productive than Michael Harris was, but you wouldn't have known it when you watched him play defense. So occasionally there will be a play here or there. If it becomes habitual, that's one thing. I just feel like that's a one-off isolated incident. And I have not noticed, just kind of watching in general, I mean, one thing the Braves have done really well this year has been, by and large, fielding the ball. I think Matt Olson is on pace for a very, very good, maybe one of the best years defensively we'll see out of a first baseman. But that's kind of getting lost in everything else that's been going on.
What's the odds? Give me your odds now. 60%, 75%, 80% Marcel is done here by the trade deadline.
I think it's about as close to 100% without saying 100%. I really feel like we're talking about pretty much a fait accompli. That's the phrase, right? That's right. What I'm looking at when it comes to Marcel. That's what I'm looking at, I feel like, with Raisel Iglesias, who was able to work out of a bit of a jam last night. So that was kind of good to see. And there's also, I think, you know, we watch this on a regular basis, and maybe we see what these players aren't doing this year that they have done in the past. From the outside evaluation standpoint, some teams may be looking at them and thinking, all right, well, they've done it before. Maybe they'll do it again for us. Maybe the change of scenery is the thing they need, and maybe this is the missing piece. And that's where things start to get a little bit more interesting. Not going to tell you it's going to net the Braves a bunch of top 100 in baseball prospects from Marcel Ozuna and Raisel Iglesias and some of the other pieces, but maybe you do talk somebody into a decent return and something that you can at least utilize and look at and try out in the future to maybe make the bullpen a little bit stronger in 2026 or beyond, or get a little bit of more starting pitching depth, or that position player prospect that you don't have that plays middle infield that's ready to go for you at Triple A Gwinnett. Maybe those are the kind of pieces that the Braves will be able to pick up for a couple of veteran rentals because they've done it before and they do have good resumes.
And I know that you said it, we were not going to be buyers at the trade deadline, but you had to make moves, you know, to go get Kuko and Eric Fetty, just because out of necessity, you just got to find someone to eat some innings. It's funny because Seth Lugo just got a two-year extension from the Royals. Still love those uniforms, still love that ballpark. It's kind of cool seeing, you know, Ronald hit one over the fountains last night. But, I mean, this is where we're living. So at what point, though, will we see, and how does Snitker manage when we see some of the younger arms, and how aggressive do you think AA is going to be after the trade deadline in getting the AA guys and the giving guys a chance with less pressure than perhaps we saw for a guy like Didier earlier in the year?
Well, two things. Number one, I do think the backdrop at Kauffman Stadium is one of the absolute best in baseball. It is wonderful to just kind of look at the video game background, much like PNC Park is and a couple of other ones. But putting that aside, aesthetics aside, what do the Braves look like for the next couple of months, pitching-wise? I think that they are going to make some of these moves like we've seen for the Dane Dunnings and the Carlos Carrascos and the Eric Fettys, just to try to fill some of the innings that you need to get through two solid months. I don't feel like the Braves want to, because some people look at it this way, but I don't necessarily know if it's accurate, and I think that the Didier Fuentes experiment might just kind of point to, you want to bring guys up when you do feel like they are ready to compete at the big league level. You rush them sometimes, that's just not in their best interest or yours, but that was, as I said, many, many times, that was an arm talent promotion. He's gone back to AAA and thrown fairly well, at least here lately he has. I think he's going to figure it out. We'll see him again. But Hurston Waldrop's kind of been a little bit of an up-and-down season for him. A couple of other names to keep in mind. J.R. Ritchie, who has done most of his good work in the lower level, working to the mid-level of the minors, and now he's at AAA Gwinnett. And Blake Burkhalter's another one. Beyond that, you're just kind of organizational fillers. And what are those? Well, that's Jackson Stevens. That is, you know, Davis Daniel. That is, you know, those kinds of names. And Eric Fetty, obviously, is just a cast-off from another organization, just like Carrasco and Dunning. I think we might see more cast-offs as roster trimming is done by other clubs that are trying to upgrade that might benefit the Braves just purely from a, you know, cover-the-innings perspective. And unfortunately for Bryce Elder, it's gotten pretty bad. I mean, we're seven starts in a row now. It's an over 10 ERA on that run. You're not getting the five innings you need out of them, and the bullpen's paying the price for it.
Grant, before we go, baseball lost one of its greats yesterday in Rhino, Ryan Sandberg. Just curious, the outpouring of you know, from former teammates, people, his peers, people he played against, including our own Dale Murphy, who had his own tribute, which was incredible. They spent a lot of time together being all-stars in the 80s and into the 90s. Your thoughts on Ryan Sandberg?
Yeah, I mean, one of the most popular players. I mean, I'm a kid of the 80s. I grew up on with the Braves on TBS, but I also had the Cubs on WGN. So I got very familiar with Ryan Sandberg very quickly. He could do it all. He was a class player. But when you talk about the on-field, he was as big a superstar second baseman as I think we'll ever see. He had a season of 50 stolen bases. He had a season of 40 homers. He was an MVP. He was a multiple-time All-Star. He was a Gold Glover. And I think that he made everybody around him better. And that means on the field and behind the scenes. And that's why you see this kind of outpouring for him. I know that when the Hall of Fame was having its induction on Sunday, I think that a lot of people were preparing themselves for this news. And unfortunately, it came very quickly. But one of baseball's great class guys gone way too soon. And I think that the outpouring of love that you're seeing and respect for him is well deserved and not surprising in the least for one of baseball's all-time great guys.
Some great stuff from everybody from Andre Dawson to President Obama talking about his legacy in Chicago. And, yeah, man, as we said earlier, just use this opportunity to say, guys, get yourself checked out. Blood test, you know, for prostate and everything else. And everything else you need to do, guys, when you get to get older and you get up there. But, yeah, man, he was one of our favorite guys to watch play.
Great stuff, Grant. Appreciate you. We'll see what happens tonight. And as we count down to the trade deadline, stay tuned. Make sure you follow Grant. He'll have all the latest on the Braves' moves. And, in fact, if there are multiple, because there may be multiple moves, guys, we will be all over it for you. Grant McCauley, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Catch you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Coming up, Leonard Floyd talks about the fights in practice. And Michael Penix talks about why you have to have the dog in you. Hear it next, live from Hooters on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.